speaking on this program is Brother Gary Cawley.
We're delighted you're listening to the program wherever you may be at this time, and we also delight in being able to visit with you by means of this radio broadcast. Many of you, I realize, we will never see, but we're hopeful that we will influence your heart by planting the seed of the gospel so that you will desire to be the Lord's servant. Today I'm reading to you from 2 Peter 1, beginning in verse 12, if you have your Bibles and would like to follow along. Peter, of course, was the first one to preach a gospel sermon on the day of Pentecost. And he also was the one who denied the Lord three times. But he was restored after his repentance, and therefore was the first to preach to the Jew, as well as to the Gentile in Acts 10. He realized the heavy responsibility that was his. He knew the weakness that he had, and he wanted to be upright in the sight of God as well as helping all others to be upright also. He wrote, wherefore, in verse 12 of 2 Peter 1, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Here we find some very important thoughts of a godly man. He knows that he is soon to put off this tabernacle of clay, called the body, and that his spirit being separated from his body, he will no longer be able to act upon this earth. But he realizes that they're coming after him, many who need to know the word of life and truth. And so he says, as he assures us that what he wrote was the truth, he has not followed cunningly devised fables, that is, just stories, but he has the truth of the gospel, and he wanted them to be established in the present truth. So he thought it right and worthy and good, as long as he was living, to be able to stir up by putting them in remembrance their sincere minds. He knew, of course, that if he did so, he would not be negligent. So he says here, wherefore, I will not be negligent. You know, I'm afraid many parents are negligent. Many preachers are negligent. Many elders of the church may be negligent. There are some Christians who are negligent when it comes to putting people in remembrance of what they really ought to do. I want not to be negligent, and I'm sure that you don't want to be negligent, to put others in remembrance of God's Word, as he said here. Are we teachers of the Word? Are we those who live the Word? You know, indeed, it is a wonderful thing to have the Word of God, but if we're selfish with it and hold it only to ourselves, it will not benefit others. Jesus said in Mark 16, 15, and 16, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. In Acts 17, 11, when those people heard the gospel, it says they were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether these things were true. I hope that if we have been negligent in the past, to put others in remembrance of God's word when opportunities present themselves, that we will no longer be negligent in those things. I don't want to be negligent either in my relationship to the Lord and His church. Therefore, if I am not going to be negligent, I'm going to attend all of the services. I'm not going to say, well, I'll take this service and then I'll leave off three or four, or I will be there just when it is handy for me, or I will be there just when I don't have to face those who are around me and do what they say. I'm going to give to the church because I don't want to be negligent. I know the Lord says upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him and stores him and prosper, that there be no collections made when I come. I'm going to work for the church. I don't want to be negligent about my work in the Lord's kingdom. I can do those things which will honor and please him. And I must work, he said, the works of him that sent me while it is day. For the night cometh when no man can work. He also told us in Philippians 2, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who worketh in you, both to will and to work according to his good pleasure. So when we work in harmony with God's word, we're not negligent in our relationship with the Lord and with his church. I'm going to continue to pray unto my God I'm going to call upon Him as my Father because I'm a child in His family. I've been born into that family by obedience to the gospel. And therefore, I have the privilege of saying, Abba, Father. Do you have that privilege? If you do not, I would be negligent in not telling you that you need to be a Christian so that you may pray. Oh, I know there's some in the world of religious nature even who teach you to pray the little sinner's prayer. Friend, the Bible never taught anybody to pray that prayer. In fact, the Bible doesn't teach sinners to pray at all. It teaches them to obey. And that is the only way that Christ can be our Savior. Hebrews 5:8-9 said, though He were a son, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered. And being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation. But to whom? He said He became the author of eternal salvation to all them that will obey Him. Now, I will not be negligent to put others in remembrance of God's Word. I will not be negligent of my relationship with the Lord and His church. But third of all, with Peter, I will not be negligent of the physical needs of my family. You know, in 1 Timothy 5:8, Paul said, if a man won't work, don't let him eat. And he also said that if we would not provide for our own, we're worse than an infidel. We've denied the faith. Well, we don't want to do that. But if we're negligent in the physical needs of our family because we're drinking, or because we're gambling, or because we're playing the horses, whatever may be the thing that takes the things away from our family that they need, we're negligent in that, aren't we? Don't be negligent of the physical needs or the spiritual needs of your family. You have a great responsibility. In Ephesians 6:4, the Bible says, Father, you provoke not your children to wrath, but train them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Don't be negligent, either in their physical needs or their spiritual needs. I will not be negligent in helping the needy out, those who are sick, those who are in affliction. You know, James 1:27 says, pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father, is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Now, to visit here means more than just to say, if you need me, give me a call. It means if we see a need in those people, or if we know that they are in need, we'll help them. We'll do what we can to sustain them. Don't be negligent toward the needy. That's what he is teaching us in James 1:27. And you know, I'll not be negligent either of the great salvation offered me by the Lord. In Hebrews 2:1, he said, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we let them slip. For if the words spoken by angels were steadfast, and every transgression received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him, both with signs and wonders and manifold deeds and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to His own will? Are you going to be negligent of the great salvation offered in Christ? My friends, if you are, you'll ignore the church of our Lord. You'll ignore obedience to the gospel, even though that's the only way to be saved from your past sins. And you will ignore the hope of eternity after a while, entering into that everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, Peter said just before he said, I'll not be negligent. He said, brethren, give all diligence to add unto your faith virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and love. For he said, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you're neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But he said, he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see what's afar off, and he hath forgotten that he was once purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall, and thus shall be richly supplied unto you an entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, are you doing these things, or are you negligent of the things of the great salvation? We hope that you're not disobedient to the gospel, but rather through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism, that you are in Christ. You know, there are only two verses in all the Bible that tell us how to get into Christ. Romans 6:3-4, Galatians 3:26-27. The first one says, or are you ignorant, brethren, that as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have been baptized into His death? We were buried, therefore, by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised through the glory of the Father, so also we should be raised to walk in newness of life. Now, how did we get into Christ? Well, we came by baptism into Christ, no other way. And that's where we reach the blood. That's where the grace is. That's where the hope is. And my friends, again, Galatians 3:26-27, he said, now we're all made the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you, and only as many we might add, as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, bond or free, male nor female, but we're all one man in Christ. And if we be Christ, then are we Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. How easy it is to be negligent. But my friends, when you're dealing with your own soul and with the souls of your children and of your friends, you certainly do not want to be negligent, do you? You don't want to be negligent about putting them in remembrance of God's Word. You don't want to be negligent about your relationship to the Lord and His church. You don't want to be negligent about the physical needs of your family. You don't want to be negligent about the spiritual needs of your family, nor being negligent about the needy, nor being negligent about the great salvation that's found in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a wonderful pleasure it is to be a Christian. Peter said, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this name. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it began first at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ?